and your ways and your doings. If you thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, so I was just saying, Jesus quotes this when he's flipping over the table of the money changers.
I was about to
say, anybody that tries to move money between the United States and Nigeria, understands money changers. And the people who steal as money changers. If you go on the street right now, U.S. dollars are about 745 naira. You can correct it if it's changed. If you go to the National Bank of Nigeria, it's 450 naira. The Bank of Nigeria is basically like the money changers in the temple. They give a false exchange rate to steal from people. That's why Jesus is angry with them. So when they come with the currency of the Romans, let's say they came with US dollars, out on the street they'd be worth 745 naira. But when you go into the temple, you get 450 naira. So the money changers were stealing. Because in the temple they said, we'll only take naira. I'm using it as an example.
So in ka zo da wancan sai ka canza ta tuwa zuwa kudin haikali kafin fa kai baiko.
They said you have to use our currency.
Sai su ce dole ne sai ka amfani da namu ainihin kudin.
So that's why he says they're thieves.
Shi yasa yace sun zamo barayi.
But local people,
amma ko mutane da suke a waje,
would have that money.
Suna da kudin su.
But a foreigner, a Jew that didn't live in Jerusalem, would not. So the money changers were to pillage the foreigner. Well, look at next verse. If you do not oppress the stranger. The whole point of the money changers was to oppress the stranger. The fatherless and the widow, and do not shed innocent blood in this place. Here's another one that's really relevant. Or walk after other gods to your hurt, to reject Jesus Christ as God, which means they're following other gods. Hold your trust in lying words. Words that cannot profit. Well, you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely. Burn incense to Baal. And walk after other gods whom you do not know. And then come and stand before me in this house which is called by my name and say, We are delivered to do all these abominations. Remember, even though this helps us explain the parable about the fig tree,
the
parable that really happened. Jeremiah 7, as you read it, it shows how does it apply to us. Your churches. How many of them do people steal? Commit adultery. Swear falsely. Then come and stand before God and say, we were delivered to these abominations. Sounds to me very much like many churches I've been to in Nigeria. Has this house, which is called by my name, become a den of thieves in your eyes, a hold I, even I, have seen it, says the Lord. When Christ comes, he comes and says, this is the den of thieves. And anybody that studies it recognizes it's the Lord saying, behold, I have seen it. Then it goes on. I won't read all of it because it would take too long. But I will. Oh, listen, look at how this language is. Isn't this interesting?
In
15, he tells what he's going to do because of what happened in 11. And I'm just skipping. You should really read it.
Verse
15. Remember what we're trying to figure out is what it means when Christ said, if you have faith, you will cause this mountain to be cast into the sea. Isn't this interesting? Verse 15. And I will cast you out of my sight as I have cast out your brethren, the whole posterity of Ephraim. Ephraim was the northern kingdom that God sent Assyria and wiped it off the face of the earth. And he says, I'm going to cast you out of my sight just like I did to Ephraim. Could that have anything to do with the fig tree withering? I mean, Jesus says, a fig tree, if you have faith, you can do this to the fig tree. But not only that, you can cast this mountain into the sea. Maybe like God cast Ephraim. Maybe the same way. Do you see how this works? So then back in Matthew 21, because remember, we're still trying to figure out verses 18 through 20. We're trying to figure out what fig tree withered. But when Al knows it's about the kingdom of God, we know it's about the foreigners coming in. We know it's because Israel or Judah refused to return to amend their ways. And we know that God says He'll destroy them. Like he said, Ephraim. And so he then says, but when the chief priests and the scribes, and the children crying out in the temple, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. We could go there, I went there before, but I'm going to skip that one. They were indignant and said to him, do you hear what they're saying? And Jesus said to them, yes, have you never read? Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise. So let's see, he's quoting there from, again, looking at the center column. Physical Bibles have a huge advantage. If you get a good one that has first references in the center column. So he's quoting from Psalm 8 to the chief musician on the instrument of Gath, a psalm of David. O Lord, our Lord,
Allah ya Allahmu,
how excellent is your name in all the earth, who set your glory above the heavens. You mean it's not about Mount Zion? It's about all the earth? You mean that earth that three quarters of it is covered with seed? Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. We know that's back to salvation. Because Christ broke the power of Satan. Because by defeating spiritual death, he made Satan have no power over those who believe. Because the power of Satan is the fear of death. When I consider that your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him? And the Son of Man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. I thought the Jews were the special people. Why is it the Son of Man? Well, clearly from Hebrews 1, if you look up that reference, and if you don't know it, you should look it up and see where else does it say this. Or even better, look in your center column. Although my center column in this Bible doesn't have the cross reference, which is bad. So you should never think that the center column is the only cross reference. But we know from Hebrews 1 that this is talking about Christ. So then, again, for the sake of time, verse 9, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. So that's the context of these verses. He's going to judge Judah. Because they're a den of thieves. And he's going to do to Judah what God did to Ephraim. And he is going to cause his holy mountain to Gentiles to all be at his holy mountain. And his glory is going to fill the whole earth. Now let's read the parable. Now in the morning, as he returned to the city, he was hungry. Remember, God says that Israel was like a land or like a field. And I'm skipping, but you can find all these. But it's like a field that God set up. Or the landowner set up a wine press. And he gave it to his servants to produce fruit. But they refused to produce fruit. Sent his servants, they killed his servants. He sold his servants, they killed his servants. And finally he sent the son, and they kill his son. So he will take it and give it to another. So he came to it and found nothing on it. And we can do a word study on fig. It's used over and over again. As a sign of peace in Israel. They will sit under their vine and fig tree. So a healthy fig tree is a sign of them being at peace with God. A dead fig tree is not. So he came to it, found nothing on it but leaves. And remember, Mark said it wasn't season for figs. The tree had a responsibility to produce fruit for God. Even though it wasn't a season for fruit. God appointed Israel as the people of God. knowing that they would produce no fruit. God wanted fruit. But he looks for fruit. But he finds no fruit. Because they weren't appointed to produce fruit. How is that fair? You're not God. You don't get to question whether God is there. Paraphrase of Romans 9. If you go back to Deuteronomy 32, before they went into the promised land, Moses said this would happen. Moses said that God would wet his glistening sword. And he would destroy Judah. God appointed it. They had a duty to be righteous. So because of that, remember what we read. He's going to do to them. He's going to cast them out. Like he did Ephraim. So they won't be a nation anymore. Says, since you didn't have fruit, let no fruit grow on you ever again. And the tree immediately withered. In the terms of a nation. Nations usually die slowly. 40 years after Christ makes these statements, the nation that had been there for 1400 years withered and died. We might not think 40 years is immediately. But remember Mark, it was the next morning. Immediate is relative. So immediately the fig tree withered away. They killed the Christ. And God judged them for it. And they withered away. Then his disciples saw it. They marveled, saying, how did the fig tree wither away so soon? They don't see it as a physical parable. They just kind of go, wow, that's neat. And I'll tell you what, a lot of times, people see the work of God. And they just go, wow.
This is true. Wow.
That's just natural. Boko Haram, Muslims.
Boko Haram, the Muslims.
They obviously hate Christians. It's really weird that they're so violent. But it's just natural. Instead of it being the judgment of God, so Jesus answered and said to them, assuredly I say to you, if you have faith, Judah didn't have faith. The sign of having faith is you obey God. You amend your ways. You keep the Sabbath. You don't abhor the word, oppress the widow and the poor.
The
those things we read about in Jeremiah 7 and Isaiah 56. If you have faith and do not doubt, if you trust in God and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, you will not only cause Israel to be cast out, but also if you say to this mountain, the holy mountain, the presence of God, you will say to this mountain, be removed
and
be cast into the sea. So God's presence is no longer in Israel.
It's
no longer on Mount Zion. Now his glory is through the whole earth. Did this happen? The disciples had faith. With the exception of Judas.
Say they go under Yahuda Iscariot.
And they caused the Jews to be destroyed. Through the preaching of the gospel. They caused the presence of God through the Holy Spirit to fill the whole earth. They preached the gospel in Ethiopia. The apostles had the faith that they preached the gospel in Ethiopia.
Africa,
Spain,
Spain,
Babylon,
the Babila,
went out to the sea. So when I said that yesterday, I wanted to go through this exercise so you can see how it can be done. And if you've never done it before, it takes time. If you haven't read the Bible, however many times I've read it, it takes a lot longer to figure out the cross references. But when I said yesterday, this is what he's really talking about. Do you see what I said about deeper meanings? That you have to be able to go back to Scripture and make the argument from Scripture. And the point of this conference isn't for you to watch me do it. Because the church in Nigeria will never be healed if you require a white man to come do it. You need to do it. And you need to do the work to do it right and to do it carefully. Treat the sword of the word much more carefully then you would treat a gun that is cocked and ready to fire. because mishandling the word of God does far more damage than any gun can ever do. These principles matter. But you have to be willing to do the work. Jacob. When Jacob was probably saved, it's when he got a new name. It's when he made the choice to obey God rather than obeying his own fears. He was sure Esau was going to kill him. He sends his servants far ahead. He sends Leah and her children way ahead. He cared more about them than he did his sheep. But not like Rachel and her children. He sends them out. I think it's a total of four layers. The picture is Jacob's going, Esau's going to kill me. Maybe after he kills all these animals, or maybe he'll just steal the animals and be satisfied. If not, maybe he'll kill my wife and children. And maybe he'll kill my favorite wife and child. But he hid behind all of them. And then he crosses back over the river. So maybe having a river between me and Esau maybe that will protect me. And then God comes. And he wrestles all night with God. When he's afraid and about to run, even though God said, go back to the promised land, he knew it was God that spoke to him. He liked it. Because Laban had been stealing stuff from him. And he had all this wealth. And then he finds Esau's coming. And the last thing he heard from Esau, the next time I see you, I will kill you. And then Christ comes. Pre-incarnate Christ. Comes and wrestles with Jacob all night until the light finally starts shining.
Har sai lokacin da haske ya fara busowa.
And then Jacob,
sai Yakub,
his physical strength is wounded.
In ainihin ko karfin shi na jiki ta samu rauni.
He is humbled. He became a lame man for the rest of his life. You get the picture, right? It's wrestling with the Word of God. Not just going, I will open it up. Therefore they left the house of the Lord, the God of their fathers, and served wooden images. Oh, we shouldn't follow the faith of our fathers. We should go our own way. That's what people do here all the time. They don't wrestle with the word. They just grab a verse or a phrase and make up whatever they want to say about it. What you have to do, if you're faithful, what you have to do is wrestle with the Word until two things happen. Until the light breaks forth. If you don't understand the passage, keep wrestling. If you don't know what God has to say to you, what truth He has revealed to His church, your duty is to keep wrestling. When I was in school,
they
made us wrestle. When you wrestle, it's hard. After about a minute and a half, your muscles are starting to shake. You're covered with sweat. They usually have rounds that are really short. Because wrestling is hard. And God gave the picture.
Say Allah yabada wannan hoto
of wrestling with His Word until the light breaks out. Not because it's easy, but because it's hard. So that's one thing that you always wrestle for. Keep wrestling until God gives you light. Not your own stupid opinion. Not some other man's stupid opinion. But what God says. And then the other thing that you have to keep wrestling with. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. All scripture is given by God by the inspiration of God. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Wrestle with it until it changes you. Jacob wrestled with God all night. And when he left, he wasn't the man he was before. He had a new name, Israel. But he also couldn't walk the way he did before. That's what the Word does. He delivers from light and change. That's when you can move on. Let's close in prayer. Oh Lord God, I pray you stir the hearts of the people here. The people that are listening in the seminaries, that they don't play with your word. They don't put doctrinal statements and authority over your word.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, they see you. Jesus Christ is the Word. Give them the strong desire to wrestle with you. Have a desire to know you better. Out of a desire for truth. Out of a desire to be cleansed. For we all need to be washed. We need to be purified. So that we can shine forth your glory. Use your word, Lord. Among the people who hear me, to produce a holy people in Nigeria, so those who do not believe can see your glory.